This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
We are just a couple days away from Super Bowl 59, so we're going to be focusing on the Super Bowl, and in particular, dips, but we'll get to that in a second. Super Bowl squares, I'm bone out. I've never been a fan of them. I feel like the odds of winning are just so slim. And if you get stuck with just crappy numbers, you have no shot.
I do like the March Madness squares.
Those are cool.
Those are fun because you get them for every game, every round. It's a lot of action. I do like those.
I agree.
Super Bowl squares are okay. I don't love them. I don't hate them.
I only like it if I'm at a big party and everybody has one and it's kind of like a
communal?
Yeah, like I would never do it where you can do it online or like somebody sets up a website, you know what I mean? Or like through these gambling apps, like why do I have all these other things I can gamble on? I don't want to do that. But if I was at a big party and so like in real time, somebody's like, yay, celebrating the end of each quarter. I mean, I'll throw in my $25 or whatever, but it's not a big thing of mine. Not a big kink of mine.
Jason Lockenfor, team player.
Super Bowl square kink. Yeah. Not for Jason Lockenfor.
I mean, it's fine. It's just not
don't yuck
thing.
The yum. Commercials. Bone out. It's always a big deal every year. Oh, my God. And there's a couple that you get a chuckle for. But the people that are glued to the TV when the action is not happening, it always amuses me.
Or the ones who, like, try to get you to stop talking so they can hear the damn commercial.
Exactly.
It's like, first of all, they probably already put it on YouTube.
Yes.
Right? It's probably in real time available on your phone if you just Google what Super Bowl commercial's on right now. And I don't know, like, for most of my life, I didn't see them because I was at the game.
There.
But now that I'm back, I'm like, wow, this is really much ado about nothing. And most of them suck. Like, most of them are just not that good.
Yeah, every once in a while, one will get me, like that Dunkin' Donuts one last year. And I guess there's going to be new tracksuits this year. We got to talk to the Burge about that.
I thought that was only for like when the Patriots were good.
No, the whole Ben Affleck Dunkin' Donuts tracksuit commercial a year ago. And I think they got a new one this year. So I remember Lucy took them forever to get her tracksuit.
But she
ordered
it.
Yeah. So I'll have to ask her if she's going to order another. But yeah, they're okay. I don't love them.
I know halftime shows can vary in terms of artist or genre, but I'm always bone in because the production value's always insane. It's always this spectacle. It's hard to mess up.
I like them.
Yeah, I'm fine with them. I mean, sometimes they do. Sometimes they stink, but
Prince was great. Springsteen was great.
Well, they've started to branch out. You know, like when they're bringing like The Who back, like I can remember being at the Peyton Manning peed on his leg Super Bowl against the Saints. And it's like The Who without Keith Moon's been dead longer than most of the people in the stadium have been alive. Like The Who with some fake drummer.
They brought up Shakira and J-Lo a couple years ago.
That was an interesting choice.
But that was fun. That was still good. It was still good. That's my point. It was like, it's probably 20 years too late, but it was still good.
Fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. Hey, Shakira at the Grammys the other night was fascinating.
Fascinating.
Yes. I think she's lacking, like, I think she has less bones in her stomach or something than normal people.
Very malleable.
Yes.
She's like Kyle Hamilton. She can bounce back from anything. She's Gumby. Like Gumby.
Yes. Yeah.
I think dips are essential. Appetizers are essential for any Super Bowl party. So just running them down. Some dip that I'm getting more and more into because there's this like fascination with
those
pickles.
Tobacco packets?
In the past. The Zins?
Yeah. Is that the dip you're into?
No. I do have some friends that are big into Zins. Yeah. But dill dip. I love dill dip. Mm-hmm. It's really freaking good.
No, I'm not a pickle guy.
Oh, you're not into pickles?
There's like a pickle renaissance going on?
Dude, there's pickles everywhere. Fried pickles. Like I feel like the renaissance over the past handful of years.
Give me a kosher
years.
Dill with a turkey sandwich.
Like I just feel like pickles have always kind of been pickles. You're telling me now they're moving up the ladder?
I think they have. Dude, there's pickle festivals. There was like a pickle festival at Power Plant.
But I'm sure there's tomato festivals and corn festivals.
I've never heard of a tomato festival or corn festival at Power Plant.
Corn, it's got the juice, right? That was a few years ago, right? That thing that went viral.
I'm a big spinach artichoke dip guy. I'm bone in on that.
It's okay.
It's okay. So you're not really boning.
No crab dip? I'm waiting for crab dip.
I feel like
about like
the
a buffalo chicken dip?
Buffalo chicken dip's the obvious ones. I'm going like a taco dip.
Seven layer?
You got to have the right constitution
much,
of cook. Of,
seven
of,
layers too much. It was on my list.
You got to have a really good, high quality, whatever, chip, Tostito, whatever.
Oh, like, to hold up for
yes,
it?
Yes. If you're going
you need
to seven.
The scoops, dog.
Or you need like a homemade, like real chip that's got like some heft to it. So it doesn't fall apart. Also, so it doesn't like, break in half in the dip.
The refried beans part, like, it's like mush.
I'm not scared.
I don't like it.
I'm not scared.
It's mush and just not appetizing.
I need a good sauce.
You don't want
a
raw dog at bone. You want to have some other things on the chip besides the bean. I'm not saying go commando, just all bean.
No, I know, but it's a deterrent for me.
Mm. You skirt it?
It's hard
about
to skirt
it?
A seven-layer dip.
Bone, what about chicken wings? They say more chicken wings are eaten on Super Bowl Sunday than any day of the year. Do you like a chicken wing?
I feel like the obvious stuff because you guys are killing me for the Italian thing a couple weeks ago. Or I
that
feel
was
like
bad.
Chicken wings are very
it was bad,
universally
This was a better
loved.
Bone in, bone out than that.
Thanks.
I'm bone in on this bone in, bone out.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm bone in. The last one, the Italian one, not so much. I was bone out on that.
I was coming off The Godfather. I thought.
Thank you, Ben.
And
it's good to have Ben back.
Obviously, Italian food everybody loves. And if you don't love Italian food, that's on you.
That's right. That's a
tell them, Bone.
Don't yuck
Preach.
My yum. Hey, before we step out, fifth caller, 410-583-1057. You win two tickets to see Nine Inch Nails. That's August 26th at CFG Bank Arena, 410-583-1057. But coming up next, it's six-pack time. It's our six-pack, the six best moves Mike Elias has made as GM of the Orioles. We'll give you our list next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're on the Fan. We are just days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. We're 50 days away from the start of the baseball season. Perfect time to look back at the 6 best moves made by Orioles general manager Mike Elias. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number 6.
I had trouble with the order, as I seem to always do, especially on the back end. But I put the Corbin Burnes trade at 6. It's a trade that you have to do 100 times out of 100. The reality of Mike Elias maybe being wrong on a couple guys that he currently has on his roster and maybe not fortifying in other areas is a him problem. But that's a trade you got to make, and he got you an ace. And it's also at 6 because he only had him for a year.
Yeah, didn't make the cut for me. 6 for me is the Jorge Lopez trade.
You get much higher.
You get Cano, you get Slim, you get Juan Nunez, who I think still has a future, as a potential major leaguer. And this kid Juan Rojas, who's pitched well in the low minors. I mean, Lopez, they sold on at the exact right time. And a year at that point in time, I think a lot of like teams that were looking to sell were having trouble getting what they thought was value. Remember, they were bemoaning no top 100 prospects are coming back the other way. And Povich wasn't a top 100 prospect, but Povich was a hell of an arm to get.
Number 5.
I wasn't sure whether to put this one on because Mike Elias didn't find this guy, but Mike Elias cultivated him, and Mike Elias found a role for him. And so Batista transitioning into the bullpen becoming a closer, and not just a closer, but a Dennis Eckersley type 5 and 6 out closer. I put that at 5.
Yeah, I thought about him too, but because he didn't find him, yeah. I left him off. Number 5 for me, moving the wall back in, which is a result of his stupid decision to move the wall out.
I had it on there, but then I scratched it off because like, we haven't even seen how it played yet. But trust me, it's right here. An hour ago, if we had done this, it would have been there.
I just feel like they pushed it too far back and too high up, and actually cost them runs in the playoffs last year. As I think both Westberg and Ramon would have had home runs at any other normal ballpark.
But think again, about what that's saying.
Yeah.
For the people who act like this is one of the best GMs in baseball, these are the best things he did.
Yes.
You only have to come up with 6 of them.
Yes.
And Gigi, who's less the skeptic than I, has something that hasn't even happened yet in his.
Yes.
Think about that.
Well, he's got to move back to the mean there. But I have the wall being moved back in at 5.
Number 4.
4 is the Zach Eflin trade, and yes, they gave up 3 prospects, but I just remind people, prospects are just prospects until they get here. A year ago at this time, Many people were talking about Coby Mayo taking Major League Baseball by storm and moving Jordan Westberg off of third base and maybe out of the lineup. So let's wait and see what these guys are. Prospect rankings are nice. Let's see what they are once they get to the majors. But Zach Eflin's a quality pitcher, and they got him for two postseason runs.
Yeah, well, I'd also say be careful what you wish for. When Jackson Baumeister's Tampa's rotation, and
when
Eflin's,
he's there, I will.
They paid a pretty significant. They paid a real price.
He's in the major leagues, I'll say something different.
They paid a real price. I feel confident about that. My four is the Kyle Bradish trade. Early in the regime, but you turn a failing. 2 years removed from not even being a starting pitcher anymore, Dylan Bundy into four arms, and one of them turns out to be Bradish. I got to give you a lot of credit for that. This organization can't develop pitchers, hasn't really developed starting pitchers since way before Elias got here. And Kyle Bradish was getting Cy Young votes not that long ago. That's a huge, huge coup for them.
This is neck and neck. I'm going to lean Ken. I think Burns has to be on there. Should he have added more at the deadline? Absolutely.
That's him problem.
That's looking at this move in a vacuum. That was his best buy trade in terms of impact player by far.
You think they got more out of Corbin Burns than Kyle Bradish?
I'm saying a buy trade. They bought. They were ready to contend.
What's the difference, buy or sell?
I agree with you, Bono.
Did they get more out of him?
You were selling Dylan Bundy, and the prospect worked out.
Did they get more for Jorge Lopez? Corbin Burns. I'm asking the man a question. I'm not telling you to change your vote.
I'm not changing my
vote. Who did they get more out of?
Be higher.
I do.
He said Jorge Lopez.
And by the way, spoiler alert, I got Bradish higher too.
I would have.
Okay.
Yeah. Povich and Cano.
I've got both higher.
Yeah. So, okay. Spoiler.
We're doing the six-pack of Mike Elias' best moves. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three
is very quickly build a bridge to the international market. Sam Basayo is going to be here soon enough, and there will be others after him. And rather than focus on any individual international signing, this team was so broken, and they had Confederate money, and none of these street agents and their representatives, and they wanted nothing to do with the Orioles. They did not exist in that world, and they quickly got in it, and one of their first international classes might pay off with a kid who, for $1 million, you find a future major league all-star. They had to get real in that market, and Coby Perez was the right guy to hire, and all that together. It might even be too low. I mean, I thought about putting this at two. But that bridge to international baseball was huge, vital.
My three is the Dylan Bundy trade. They got four pitchers from the Angels, one of which is Kyle Bradish. And if Kyle Bradish didn't get hurt, guy was a Cy Young finalist a couple of years ago. Let's see what he looks like when he comes back from Tommy John. And I'm not going to expect much out of him this year. Whatever you get out of Kyle Bradish this year is a bonus. But he turned into one of the best pitchers in baseball before the injury.
Number two
is the Jorge Lopez trade. They just trading a guy who then bombed out basically in multiple places after the Orioles traded him. He became a closer here, and you got Yennier Cano and Cade Povich and two other interesting arms for Jorge Lopez. I have that at two.
Bone, some people would tell you the Major League Baseball draft after the top 10 is a crapshoot. Some would tell you it's an entire crapshoot. Hell, some would tell you the baseball gods are the ones who determine everything, and it's all just luck. But 1 year after using like four of their first six picks on potential shortstops, the Baltimore Orioles in Mike Elias' second draft took another shortstop and a college one who looked like he might be ready faster than not. And that was Jordan Westberg. And you take Jordan Westberg where they took him, basically between the first and second round. And we just talked about him on the show yesterday. We think he could be one of the best run producers in the American League. And he was on that path before he got hurt last year. And we think he could be the silent leader of this team. I have to give them full marks. A lot of people might have said, we just took Ortiz, we took Hernández, we took Gunnar Henderson. No. Smart pick. Turns out he's not a shortstop, but neither were most of those other guys.
Number one.
I mean, drafted Gunnar Henderson, where they got Gunnar Henderson. I mean,
second round.
We're simpatico.
Yeah. Gunnar Henderson.
That's a big W for the Ginger Gorilla.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, you sure about that?
I think Lopez and Bundy need to be higher.
He's got, he doesn't have Jordan Westberg on his list.
Not Evan Westberg.
Nothing about international markets whatsoever.
These things are bigger.
Bone, you failed. You choked.
You know what? Bone, you lost to Jason Lock and four of us. But your vote, it means a lot to yourself.
You choked. Dude, do you want to redo?
We were all talking in real time that Felix because should get the opportunity to close, get rid of Jorge Lopez. How often do closers pitch, and how often had Bautista pitched
you get,
before he got hurt?
You get that value.
He didn't even find Bautista.
You got more value.
That's why I didn't put him on my list.
You got more value back for Jorge Lopez than Trey Mancini at that time.
And he's got it two things higher than me?
Yeah. There's only
six. You have it at six. He has it at two.
Yeah. Four things higher than me?
Math, your math. Hey, coming up next, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057.
Dropped the ball.
Orioles lineup. Are you confident can be as good or better than last year's lineup? Talking some Orioles. We can get into some Ravens as well. 410-583-1057. We'll hear from the people next. I want to hear from the people. We are 50 days away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. Pitchers and catchers. What report next week? Is it that?
Jeff Arnold said, I mean, not Jeff Arnold. Jacob Calvin-Meyer said he's going down Wednesday. I was talking to Jeff Arnold on the phone the other day.
Yeah.
I think he's going down this week, too. Yeah, that's me. Yeah. But right?
The 13th.
Yeah. That was next Wednesday. Yeah. I thought he said this.
Wednesday. Jake, because he's going down early.
With the family.
I think they're just having fun before.
Ooh, like you can't have fun in Florida. It's like, come on, that's a good time. But let's hear from the people, shall we? 410-583-1057. Seth is in Baltimore. Seth, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Hey there.
Dude, Jason, you're really growing. I heard some nice things said about Michael Elias. That's pretty amazing.
I'm completely level-headed. Nobody was leading this guy's bandwagon before me. Trust me. You won't find anybody who did it. But I just keeps it real.
You know, I appreciate that, Jason. I really do. I just have a different view than you.
Sure.
I think the dude is a stud. And, you know, I'm like Captain Positive. I've been telling you all along, I think.
Oh, you're the ifs guy. Seth, you're the ifs guy, right?
That's me.
Yeah, you're the ifs guy.
I think they're going to do really well this year, man. I think that our team is great. I love our chemistry. I didn't want to go into the market and buy a bunch of names that I think are going to break down. I didn't want to give away our assets for things that I think are going to work.
No, you brought a non-name in O'Neal who's going to break down. You got to.
I'm not sure if he's going to break down, Jason. I hear you. I really do. And maybe I'm being a little naive here, but I just think Westberg's going to have a huge year. I think Gunner's going to become one of the best players in the game this year. I think Grayson takes a huge step. And Jason, $1 trading places style, Trevor Rogers, 5 wins before the All-Star break.
Oh, you want to do $1 trading places
in the International League?
No.
$1.
In Norfolk? You're on.
Oh, you're funny, brother.
I'm dead serious.
No, he's saying in the Major League.
I know, but I wasn't lying about Norfolk.
Yeah.
You're on.
I think he...
$1.
Seth, he saw those guys that Severino saw. I think he's bought in. I think his ego was crushed by not being able to get guys out in fucking triple. Oh, pardon me. I'm so sorry.
We got him. That took a turn.
Seth, I don't know if we can ever take your call again, but I do appreciate your passion and your optimism about the Orioles. It is noble.
If you would have given me 10 guesses as to when that word would have come out in that phone call, that would not have been one of the 10.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Well, the good news is I think I was the only person to hit the
light. I hit it.
No, he hit it too. Yeah,
there's a light still on, so I think there I can is. Still take
yeah,
calls.
Yeah, we can still take it. We got 50%.
Yeah, 410-583-1057. Josh is in Severn. Josh, you're on the fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'll keep it PG for you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, Josh, you're the only one that got to hear that other than us.
Well, oh, because you're on
the stream.
Yeah, oh, the stream. Yeah.
Odyssey app.
Sorry, Josh.
Good to know, but no, it's all good. No, I think you guys are hitting the nail on the head. I don't think this team's going to be as good as it was last year offensively. And you guys were talking the Laureano thing earlier. My take on this reminded me a lot of them panicking and going out and getting Burns. My first thought when they signed him is Calzer's hand not healing right? Do they know something about Calzer?
Well, that's an interesting one.
Broke his hand at the end of the year, And is that why they rushed out to get another outfielder? Because they know that
the only pushback on that is he was all over the Birdland
caravan.
He was all over that. Yeah, it didn't seem like there was anything going on with his hand there.
And I remember him.
But that's a great theory.
I remember him doing an interview with Ryan Ripken earlier in the off season. Ryan was asking him about it, and he was saying he was full go. So
he was very involved in the Birdland caravan.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think if this was about that, it would be somebody like who could hit. Like I don't know. I think it would have been a left-handed bat, but I mean they kind of got that in Carlson, right? The switch hitter. I'm guessing Colton Cowser's okay. I think it's got a lot more to do about this Jorge Mateo thing.
Yeah,
might be
yes.
Really no bueno, which is also why they wanted that year tacked on, right?
Yeah.
They got an option on him as part of the avoiding arbitration deal.
Now, my guess is if Colton Cowser was having serious setbacks, he wouldn't have posted in the caravan. Like kept him under wraps. Like if he had like a brace on or something like that, he's not showing up.
Yeah, the event I went to, he was not at, so I can't speak.
He was singing and like pouring beers, I guess, and all that other stuff that they were having that good Birdland caravan fun time.
And there was a bowling event there as well. I don't know if he participated. I don't know if he participated, but if he did,
if anybody was there, what hand was he pouring beer with? Let us know what hand he was working the taps with.
Did he bowl?
I saw they had Jackson Holliday pouring, which I guess
he's legal.
He's legal. He's legal now.
He's allowed.
He's 21.
He's allowed.
Speaking of Orioles outfielders, Austin Hayes, did he ever get back to you after you doubled back with him?
Yeah, that's a good question,
Bob. I don't believe he did. I will triple back.
Let's triple back with Austin Hayes. Love to see how he's doing. He's one of our favorite
guys. Part of this cluster of outfielders, right-hand hitting outfielders who have been very in vogue lately.
Yeah. Hey, coming up next, we want to take a look at where the other teams in the AL East are as we are just a week away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Buck Martinez, Blue Jays TV, former Orioles broadcaster, joins us next here on The Fan. We are 50 days to the start of the baseball season. Pitchers and catchers reporting next week. And let's see what's going on around the AL East. And we start in Toronto as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Former Orioles broadcaster now with Blue Jays TV, Buck Martinez joins us. And Buck, always good talking to you. Thank you so much for your time. Let's start with the Anthony Santander signing. First, were you surprised the Orioles did not seem to make an effort to bring him back? And what do you think he brings to the Blue Jays?
Well, I was a little surprised that the Orioles didn't bring him back. But, 5-year commitment, Orioles kind of had a history of not having too many long-term contracts like that, going back to the previous ownership. But Anthony brings a lot to the Blue Jays, exactly what they needed. They needed some more pop to complement Vladdy Guerrero, and obviously he had a career season last year. And he's in the prime of his career. And, I've known Anthony for a while, and I just know that he brings an awful lot to the table, and obviously he knows the division very well. So I think it's a real good addition to the Blue Jays.
Certainly brings some pop to the lineup, Buck. But what about the leadoff spot? Are you expecting George Springer to lead off again, or could they go in a different direction at the top spot?
I think they might go in a different direction. It's George is getting up there. He hasn't had real good offensive production the last couple of years, but they don't have a lot of options. When you look at the guys that are slated to start, Will Wagner might be the most legitimate option, but he's just a rookie and hasn't had many at-bats. He's only got 49 days in the big leagues, and he's an on-base guy. He had a good debut with the Blue Jays last year, but as we speak right now, there aren't many options. Dalton Marshall is probably not going to be ready to start the season, having shoulder surgery in the offseason, so if Nathan Lucas starts in center field to begin the season, he's a good option, too, because he is a guy that can really get on base a lot. But they don't have any real clear-cut, obvious guys that just say, okay, this guy can be a rock-solid leadoff guy, at least not right now, the way the roster stands.
What is, I guess, the temperature of the fan base there? I mean, obviously, this Vladdy thing, I mean, maybe it gets done, maybe it doesn't. It seems like Bo Bichette's future might be elsewhere. They've made a calculated effort to get a lot of huge upgrades and have kind of now become synonymous with, finishing second for guys. Like, is there a sense that this thing is nearing transition?
Yeah, I think there is. The fan base is not very happy. And it started last year with the Ohtani debacle. And, you know, I think anybody that was really in tune with baseball, when you have an opportunity like Ohtani had, you know, he's from Japan. He played on the West Coast of the Angels. The Dodgers are a world-famous team, and the money was equal. And L.A. is a lot closer to Japan than Toronto, so there wasn't an awful lot of speculation he was really going to end up in Toronto. But I think their offer was legit. I just think that free agents, you know, you get one kick at the can generally when you're a free agent, and you're going to pick the best situation for yourself as an individual and your family.
We're talking with Buck Martinez. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. The Orioles signed a 40-year-old pitcher in Charlie Morton. The Blue Jays did the same recently, bringing in Max Scherzer. What are your expectations for Max Scherzer at 40 years old with the Blue Jays?
Well, if Max can make 20 starts for the Blue Jays, it'll be a hell of an addition to this roster. Obviously, we know he's been injured the last couple of years, but when he's healthy, he's one of the best pitchers that has pitched in the last 25 seasons. He's a wonderful teammate. He's one of my go-to guys when I want to have questions about pitching. Verlander, Scherzer, Garrett Cole, those are the guys I really reach out to and then discuss pitching because they understand what it is to compete. And Max is a terrific guy, and he's had a hell of a career. We just hope he's healthy. But I know for a fact that he will add a lot to this team. Being on the roster, being in the rotation, and just he's a little bit like that era of pitching in Atlanta when they had Maddox, Smoltz, and Glavine, where he just oozes baseball knowledge, and I think anybody that's around him is going to pick up on that.
Buck, sticking with the starting rotation, are you buying Bowden Francis entering the season after his strong finish to last year?
There's no reason not to. You know, he's 28 years old. It's not like he's a kid that just all of a sudden found something. He knows how to pitch. You know, he had two or three games where he took no hitters late into the game, and he's not overpowering, but he can pitch. He added a two-seam fastball that really complemented his breaking balls. He's always had a good curveball, but he threw more sliders at the end than he did curveballs. And I like him. I think he's a very serious guy. You know, he started out with Milwaukee and he signed with them in 2017, but I think he can replicate what he did last year. I don't think I expect him to be a Cy Young Award winner, but I think he can be a real solid two or three in the Blue Jays rotation.
So as you kind of look out at the division as it stands right now, what are your impressions of the Orioles? I mean, around here, a lot of people, frankly, thought they would do more than check a couple boxes, like, you know, platoon outfielder, check, backup catcher, check, you know, a whole bunch of mid-rotation starters, check, but not a whole lot added to their young core. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, and Charlie Morton, just like Matt Scherzer, he brings an awful lot to the team. And when these guys pick these two respective teams, it shows you what they think of those teams. So they both think that the Blue Jays have an upside in the Scherzer case, and Morton obviously thinks that the Orioles have an upside in his signing. So they bring a lot to the table. Tyler O'Neill, of course, had a bang-up season in Boston, and I just think the division overall, there was so much activity in this division, it's unbelievable when you look at what the Red Sox have done, what the Yankees have done. Tampa Bay just flies under the radar every year and ends up in a contending situation year after year. But I think the Orioles expect Adley to bounce back and have a better season next year than this year than he did last year. Gunnar Henderson is just a terrific player. I think Jackson Holliday is going to get back to where we thought he would be when he first came up. And I just think that core is really good. And now you've complemented with the power of Sanchez and the power of O'Neill, the versatility of Nick Gordon. You know, I tell you one guy that if I were you, I'd keep my eye on. And I know it's a very, very under-the-radar sign, but I love Dylan Carlson. I think Dylan Carlson is a real sleeper. He's a guy that switch hits. He can play all three outfield positions, and I just think he needs a fresh start. He went sour. Things went sour for him in St. Louis. He didn't get much of a chance in Tampa Bay. He was hurt a little bit. But I think this is a very interesting guy. He's in the prime of his career, a switch hitter that can play in the outfield, and keep your eye on him during the spring. I think he's going to be interesting.
Buck, let's finish with a couple of the guys that are the faces of this team the last few years, and that's Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero. Are you confident they'll get an extension done with Guerrero? And what about the future for Bichette? Any surprise that they haven't traded him at some point?
I'm not surprised they haven't traded him because they would be trading Lowe. Bo, he will turn 27 in March. He's, he was on his way to lead the league in hits three straight years 2 years ago when he hurt his knee. And last year he had calf injuries twice that set him on the injured list. Bo's at a point now, like I say, he's in the prime of his career. I expect him to be the former Bo Bichette than what we saw last year. And, long-term, I don't know what the Blue Jays have in mind for him long-term, but I expect him to get back to that all-star caliber player we saw a couple years ago. And as far as Vladdy goes, man, oh, man, you get this close to free agency, it's hard to sign. And when you see the Soto contract at $765, and we all thought Soto was crazy when he turned down $440 from the Nationals a couple of years ago, and it looks like he knew exactly what he was doing. But if the price of these premier players is going up and up and up. But the one thing that's a little bit concerning if I was Vlady Guerrero's representative is the price of first baseman has gone down. Even with Peter Alonso still out there on the market, he's been one of the premier home run hitters in the last couple of years. But I think they're looking at more athletic, more versatile players, more all-around players than they are just sluggers anymore. But Vladdy's a former Gold Glove winner at first base. He has grown up into a leader role. And if I'm with the Blue Jays, I would sign him right now for 10 years and make sure he never plays in anybody else's uniform.
Buck Martinez, always great talking to you, sir. Thank you so much for your time. Baseball will be here before we know it.
You betcha. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Thank you.
Coming up next, it's T-Bone time. TMI with TIM. What you got?
Well, Friday we'll do our best bets for Super Bowl 59, but coming up next, we'll get into some of the sucker bets out there, the crazy prop bets that you actually can bet on. That's next on The Fan.